analytical skills and overwhelming passion for biblical study, Shireen has carved out a second vocation as a speaker and now as an author. Over the past 40 years, he has presented numerous Bible studies to groups of different sizes and denominations. And I'm happy to check in again with Fred Shireen. How are you this morning?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm excellent. It's good to hear your voice. And have you been okay since the last time we chatted?
We have, thank you. I've been well. My family's been well. How about you?
Good, good. Excellent. Still doing what I do.
Oh, good.
And enjoying every minute of it. Now, when we had you on earlier, I could tell from how in-depth the discussion was in this particular book of the Bible that I wanted you to come back because we were just getting going. We had, you know, questions, etc. And this is a study guide. So, you know, we got a chance to really hammer out quite a bit. And
yeah.
If you don't mind, let me first ask you to re-explain to the audience that might we're not on the first broadcast, how a financial planner becomes so, I mean, you know, you're on opposite career is spectrum, on the spectrum here. Because, and I guess that your analytical skills is what helps you to drill down in your studies, right?
I think so. I think they're very helpful, yes.
How did you get from distinguished certified financial planner and manager of investments to have this overwhelming love for scriptural references?
Well, that's a good question. I became a believer actually at a young age. I was about 16. So before I became a financial planner, I was a believer. So I studied the Bible, read the Bible, and saw it impact my life and the lives of others. And I saw how important Scripture is to one's life, especially if you're a believer. And so I, many years ago, started leading Bible studies. It wasn't until maybe 10 years ago when I'd been doing that, we were having a lot of success with them, so I thought I would start to write these things down and put them in book form so other people could use them. So it's because of the impact on my life and people and other lives, and in realizing the great truth in Scripture and how they apply to everyone, really.
Now, how much of that do you use in your everyday work? I mean, you know, because I have, you know, looked at your background, and you're at the top of your game. So you must be applying those principles pretty well, huh?
Well, that's certainly my goal. I do my best to apply them. I start every day reading, you know, some of the Bible and praying. So I'm doing my best to apply it to my life and to be excellent at what I do, which I think we're all called to do as believers.
Yeah.
And then trying to have a good influence and impact upon the people with whom I work, you know, inside of the company, outside the company, wherever it might be.
Yeah. Now, his name could be familiar to some of you all that do study Scripture, etc., because Fred has written quite a bit in the Dynamic Studies series. Can you just briefly speak on the series and what people can find once they, and what the purpose of it is, Fred, also?
Certainly. They can find most of these books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Westbow Press has them. So they're pretty much available over in many venues. And the way the studies are supposed to work is that it's supposed to help everybody have a good time and learn at the same time they're having a good time. So we start off every study with some warm-up questions to get everybody involved and feeling comfortable. And you can use these things in a small group setting. You can use them in a large group. If you use them in a large group, you might have to adapt it a little bit. Then what we do is to examine the main section of Scripture we're considering. And after we do that, we just read through it, then we go through it verse by verse. Mm-hmm. And as we go through it verse by verse, we relate that then to a number of things, certainly to the history, to see what's going on at the time to help us understand it. Mm-hmm. We relate it to the rest of Scripture. And that may be one of the most important parts, but I guess it is the most important part, so that we don't just take a verse from Philippians or anywhere else out of context. We see what God's Word has to say as a whole about something. And then we, as we go through, we look at the facts, we apply it to, you know, look at the rest of Scripture, and then ultimately the goal, as we do these things, is to have everyone who's a participant hopefully apply this to their life.
Mm-hmm.
So it hopefully it happens during the course of the study. Mm-hmm. At the end of each study, if it hasn't happened, we have some questions we ask. And if the group is small enough, both at the beginning and the end, we'll at the beginning when we have the warm-up questions, we'll have everyone answer. If it's a larger group, you can't. But if it's a small group, for instance, we had one this Friday at our home, and go around the table, and you can do this with probably up to 20 people, mm-hmm. max. If everyone's answering, if it's a bigger group, they can't. And everyone talks about how they're going to apply this to their life, and we actually have some specific questions for them to answer to help everyone think through that. And then at the end, it is also designed so at the end, mm-hmm. we talk about what's going on in people's lives. We see if people need prayer, so we will make a list and we'll pray for them and we go home. And I should mention too, key thing for most people, we always have refreshments. So so we start we start refreshments half an hour before the study, then we start the study, and so it's a very nice, enjoyable time where people grow together get to know God better and improve their lives. That's the whole idea, to apply Scripture to one's life.
And that's really at the crux of all this stuff. You know, however much time you get on earth, is that it can be some good time in it, not just everything is negative and bad, woe is me all the time. Because you
that's
know,
right. I mean, plenty of that. Yeah.
Oh, I know it is. Oh, it's a weird and a woe is me world now, for sure. But we would certainly hope that people have some happiness before they go home to the Lord. Now, in the very beginning, you give the background of Philippians and more about the city of Philippi and the quick history. Give us the nutshell on that, please.
Sure. Philippians was an important city in the ancient world. Nowadays people don't even think about it, unless they're reading the scripture. But it was a city that had some gold mines near there. It was also a city that was at the center of some military campaigns. If we think back to the Roman Empire, most of us have heard of Julius Caesar, who was murdered. But then there was a huge battle there about 42 B.C. Mm. between Brutus and Cassius. So you might remember the famous saying, et tu, Brutus, Brute, when Julius Caesar was murdered. Mm. So there was a famous battle there, and that battle was between Brutus and Cassius and Mark Antony and Octavian, who became Caesar Augustus. So later on, there was another battle, again, involving Caesar Augustus. And at that point, the first battle I spoke of left a lot of former Roman soldiers in the area of Philippi. And at the next battle, a lot of the soldiers aided Caesar Augustus in the fight. They won. And because of that, they conferred the right of citizenship upon those soldiers. It's called the Italic Right. And so they became Roman citizens, in effect. And that was a really big deal. And, they were exempt from many things in the empire. They had a lot of rights other people didn't have. And then as we go through through the scripture, when you see Paul talking, he talks about being a citizen of heaven. They had the idea of citizenship from the Romans. Now, when Paul was writing this book, interestingly, he'd been to Philippi before. And he had many friends there, and they had a very close relationship. But when he was writing this book, he was actually in prison in Rome. the Roman Empire, Nero, had imprisoned him. He was there he was in prison in total for 4 to 5 years, part of that time in Rome and at this time in Rome. And he was expecting it. He didn't know what was going to happen. He thought any day he could be killed. Nero was crazy. So he actually was writing to the Philippians, and when you read the letter, you almost have a hard time even, you don't see that, because here he is expecting daily to be executed, mm-hmm. and trying to encourage these people and talking to them about joy in their lives. So it's a great example for us, too. But we see Paul, who a great man, encouraging these people to be joyful at a very difficult point in his life. So so this is very interesting. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, did he write this with any help? I mean, besides the Lord's help. But was there anybody else who was assisting in the writing or giving, their interpretation with him, or just it was all him?
I believe this was all Paul. So he was writing. Now, he had some friends around, but he was the fellow doing the writing.
Mm-hmm.
In the course of this letter, he writes about the Praetorian, what would be the Praetorian Guard. He was under guard the whole time. So he actually had people in Caesar's household around him. And so he was interacting with them, with other believers. And it's quite likely that members of Caesar's guard, the Praetorian Guard, became believers. They had to sit and listen to him all the time. So it's quite likely they were. But when he wrote to the Philippians, he said that the other believers in Rome sent their greetings to the people in Philippi. So very interesting to see that.
Okay, so in, I know the last time we had you on, we went over one through four. Can we go today to week five through the end, where it starts on page 49? When we come back from the break, I want you to pick us up from there. Try to start this first segment here with the overview section. Is this Epaphroditus? Epaphroditus? Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Epaphroditus. I think you did fine.
Okay, cool. Well, I just sometimes, I'm phonetically hammering them out here. Because, the Bible has, a lot that, we mispronounce as mortal humans here. And from time to time, I might mess something up. Go figure.
Pretty easy to do.
Yeah, go figure. So we can get Timothy and Epaphroditus. We're on week five.
Yeah.
If you already have the dynamic studies in Philippians, you can follow along with us starting on page 49. We're going to come back and pick up there and explain what that is all about and week five through the end, so we can go, I think it's nine, week nine is where you end in this one. So do most of the dynamic studies that you've written, are they all designed on a 9-week course like this?
No, they're not. It'd be nice if I could design them for 2 or 3 months of study, or 8 or 12 weeks, but I go through the scripture, and we have arbitrary cutoff points that seem to be topical, and there's kind of a break, and we go to the next topic. So, for instance, with the Book of John, which was said under like 60 weeks, so some of them are very long, but the one like we're looking at today is probably used more often than the longer study, because you can get it through it in a couple months.
Okay. So, yeah, that is a couple months. Well, that's a pretty significant time for some studying, you know, to drill down. People can ask questions, etc. Is there a Q&A when you have your studies, Fred?
Yes, there is. So what happens is that we'll go to the scripture, and then we read it. And then what happens is we're using what we call the Socratic method here. Mm-hmm. So instead of someone just having me write down what the scripture's saying, we'll read it, and then we ask questions, or I ask questions, I have a number of questions at each point, designed to enable people to know what's happening specifically on an historic basis, what's happening with the people involved, how this relates to the rest of scripture, and then, again, the questions, just as we go through it, we get down to relating it to their lives. So it's really, read the scripture, read other scripture that relates, and then we ask a whole series of questions. Mm-hmm. And because of that, in my experience, people learn a lot better. It's much more impactful.
Yeah.
if they have to say, speak out loud, or write down what they've read and learned, instead of just, you know, having someone else try to lecture them.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, their interpretation is going to be quite different than what you hear. That's a pretty good way. Then you can remember better, right?
That's right. That's the whole goal. Yeah. That's the whole goal, because people tend to remember that.
Yeah, no question about it. Okay, if you have a question or comment, want to be in this discussion today about Philippians in the scripture, you're welcome to call us at 615-329-8810. That's 615-329-8810. Let's take the time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. Also being brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems from tooth decay to oral cancer are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com.
Hi, this is Alexander Zajic. Join me this week. Great music as always, witty banter occasionally, and our special guest, Gino Vanelli. Don't miss him. Catch my show, Alexander Zajic from A to Z, every Monday from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also being brought to you by Mount Zion Baptist Church. Join the Mount Zion Baptist Church weekly prayer call every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. Central. Request prayer or listen to the playback of the call at theprayercall.org. For more information, please call the church office at 615-254-7296 or download the free Mount Zion Baptist Church app from your favorite app store. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University, and we are continuing the study this morning in Philippians. Fred A. Shireen is a returning guest on the show. He's written a series of, was about a dozen or so books in there, Fred?
I think there's 8 or 9 now, but I intend to do the whole New Testament, so there will be more. There's one at the publisher now, and there'll be right after that there'll be another, so I just keep doing it.
Yeah. Well, you got 66 to go.
Well, 66 if I do the Old Testament, too, so... Okay. I don't know if I'll live that long. But.
Well, with what you have, is gets people off to a good start, for sure. And if I remind the audience, if you want to be in the discussion or have a question, you know, this is a two-way talk program, but a lot of people just like to listen, you know. It's 615-329-8810. Now, we're going to... go into week number 5 in this studies on starting on page 49, Timothy and Epaphroditus, and this is starts in Philippians chapter 2. Am I right about that?
It's Philippians 2 verse 19, and as we go through there, we see Timothy first of all spoken of, and Timothy was a very special person. Paul said that there was nobody like him who had been as helpful and as faithful to him in all circumstances. Mm-hmm. So it was like a son to him. And he also spoke very highly of Epaphroditus, who was also quite helpful to him. He brought gifts to him from Philippi. He also helped him when he was there in prison. In fact, he died when he was visiting Paul. He almost died, mm-hmm. and then he went home. So they were two very helpful guys. It's interesting that as we go through here and look at the signs of the time, Epaphroditus was a very valued co-worker. He was a fellow laborer, if you will. And in their society then, it was interesting that they had a lot of the problems we have today. So it was unusual to have people who were faithful and good, mm-hmm. to have that many, and so they were very happy to have them.
Do you see any, I'm certain that you probably do, you see any references in here that in so far between chapter 1 and chapter 4 that remind you of today's times?
Well, we do, and I have one quote. It's not exactly from the same time period, mm-hmm. but it does show what was going on, and this was from Socrates, and I have it in here just to show that times are similar. History repeats itself, mm-hmm. and this quote is not meant to be critical of anyone today. It's just a quote from Socrates, and he said, "Our youth now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, disrespect for older people. Children are tyrants. They no longer rise when their elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, gobble their food, and tyrannize their teachers." It's interesting to see they had some of the same things in society that we have today. And again, that's not critical of any one person. It's just that Socrates, interestingly, said that. And in their society then, the other thing we see... We saw that certainly people were spreading the faith, but they were under a lot of pressure. They were under a lot of societal pressure. In our country we have some. In other countries there's certainly more deadly pressure. People are being killed for their faith more now than ever. So we see that. In this country, it's more it's a cultural thing where people of faith sometimes are being suppressed. People are trying to suppress them, but as we see with Timothy here and Paul and Epaphroditus, Paul was trying to encourage people to have joy in their lives and to live out their faith, and because of that, then, to be a good witness to people, to help them understand truth and to come to know a full life. So,
Well, it seems to me that, you know, this is a different culture, different times, you know, different country, the whole everything. But there's just, it seems that, you know, when the Lord made us humans, there's just the same thing is in us that's been in mankind since the very beginning, even though we have evolved allegedly on certain things, you know, I'm supposed to. At the same time, that's just these characteristics are there. And you can't, and maybe some of this stuff, the people have difficulty shaking the same stuff. It just seems, you know, because if there's nothing new under the sun, then it's not. And, you know, for people to think that they have come up with something new, that's not true.
That's right.
And that also goes for human behavior. And, you know, how we treat one another and want to be treated and how we are in terms of greed and selfishness. And, you know, we have so much to that. So I guess what to me, it even validates more why what scripture says is, you know, for real, because man has not changed.
Right.
Ever. No matter what country, what culture, they just the same stuff.
Sure.
Oh, Lord. I mean, you know, that's so, that can transcend thousands of years. Like, that's, you know, wow. That father is really something, that formula. I mean, you know, if you just think about when God's infinite wisdom created the mankind formula, that, you know, there you can't put a warranty on it because it lasts forever. That is just so, you know, awesome. You know, how could you not love and appreciate that? How? You know, I'm sure there's some out there that don't, but, you know, I just had to make that observation. Now, the friends of Paul, you talked about Timothy and Aphroditus. And was Aphroditus became Christian, a fellow believer, because of the time he was around Paul, or was he like that prior to them getting together?
I believe Epaphroditus became a believer because of Paul's time in Philippi. So I can't pinpoint the date or anything, but I believe it's because of Paul's work there. And I believe Timothy had a mother who was very much involved with Scripture, but Paul was very influential in his life, too. So God used Paul with both these men.
Okay, so what was it that made him, you know, obviously he was honest and true. And, you know, Paul, I guess the Lord knew it was important for him to have people that he could talk to or turn to or trust. What was it that he had that was, you know, I guess the characteristics are so strong that, you know, he's considered as a true brother?
When he spoke of Epaphroditus, he spoke of him as a loyal co-worker, so he was loyal. He was also helped with teaching, so he was a teacher, and he referred to him as a fellow soldier, so he was willing to stand up for his faith and speak out about backing down. So there was a great friendship there, such that you know, when he thought Epaphroditus might die, he knew he'd be very sorrowful. He would go to heaven. He didn't want him to die. And he actually thought of him kind of like a brother. So so he thought of him as a brother, and he thought of him as also a team member, so not just a co-worker, but they were on the same team. They were working side by side. And that, you know, it meant a lot to Paul. It's so hard to find someone you can do that with on a basis where you feel like you're on the same page, you have the same goals, you're going the same direction, and you're supporting each other.
Right.
So, but Epaphroditus was all those things.
Okay, well, that's important when you're on a mission, have people around you that support you and trust you and believe in what you're doing. I mean, that's like so crucial.
Sure.
You know, it's not funny. Now, in number six here on page 61, this is what really counts, and you have Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11 as when you're doing the group study, etc. So take us through that one, because we have a break coming, and then on the other side of it, we'll pick up on week number 7. Tell us about week 6.
Sure. So in week 6, we see Paul admonishing the Philippians, to telling them that they ought to be joyful in all circumstances. So joyful, they're supposed to trust God, thank Him, and be immersed in God's Word. And we find there, as we go through the other verses that support this, that the result of this is inner peace, which is very important. So this is kind of partially the formula for joy. This joy is differentiated from happiness. Happiness comes from the Latin word fortuna, the English translation does, which has to do with circumstances. So if something nice happens to you today, you might be happy about it. But the joy that Paul is talking to these people about is deeper. It's deeper rooted. It's an inner quality that comes from one's relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And if we then look at the scripture here, as we do in the book, the scriptures will show us that there are several components, or several parts of that formula, if you will, in terms of how to obtain joy. So the first, actually, according to this, is trusting in Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, trusting in Him. And then that's great. And then the second part of that, and I'm trying to make this in an understandable fashion.
Mm-hmm.
The second part is to obtain a holistic and mature knowledge of God's Word,
mm-hmm.
which is what we're trying to do in these studies. So if someone studies God's Word and relates it to their life, then that helps them appreciate and experience this joy. So they understand God's Word, but then the next step is that as they do that, if one pursues a life that's pleasing to God, a life of righteousness and peace, if you will. So acting, putting into practice what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So doing that, and then interestingly, so all those things add to it, but we then actually have a command, we find it in Thessalonians, but it still relates to all this, to be joyful.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually have a choice. We it's available to us, we have the formula, and Paul says later on, be joyful. He says, pray at all times, be joyful in all circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you have to be happy that you're having those circumstances, but we can still experience joy. And that's a challenge, as it was for them, for us sometimes, to do that. But if we're not doing it, we can go back and appropriate God's power to do that. So joy is real important here, especially the mm-hmm. formula for appropriating that joy.
Mm-hmm. Now, Philippians is a letter, epistle. And so I'm just, saying this to go into the break, Fred.
Sure.
This is my head thinking out loud.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Now, use your imagination, everybody. Just say, for example, it was like somebody like Paul
mm-hmm.
wrote a letter through from God's hand in mind to Paul. Dear United States. Okay, so that is the people of Philippi. They were like, oh, Lord, surely, Lord. But I mean, for real, could you imagine what those letters, those epistles in the Bible, they were to the people in that particular city.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world would he write to us? Well, that's a sermon in there. I don't know X, I'll tell you. Reverend Elder Deacon Lawson on your sad elder.
Yeah, I hear it all.
Dear that, United States,
that's what's missing from today.
The letter from the Lord to our country.
From the people in the United States and out.
Lord, what will he tell us? Now, that's the question.
Yeah.
That's the question, y'all. What would he tell us if he sent us a letter? Oh, my Lord. Anyway, now, think
Ripping
on that.
Kids away from their parents at the border.
Just what would he say would be so much.
Supreme Court justices.
It would be so much.
Acting like he wouldn't allow his plaintiffs to act in front of him.
It would cover just so much. It might not be specific to that, but it would talk about behavior for sure.
And
it would certainly also talk about being a hypocrite. Anyway, let's take a time out. What would the Lord say if he wrote us a letter, y'all? Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
I really wish Jasmine would answer her phone. She hasn't responded to my text. Where is my friend when I need her? The situation with Mom is getting out of control. I really need to talk to someone. All these pills. Mom has pill bottles everywhere.
Hey, girl, what's up? I see you've been trying hard to reach me. I'm so sorry.
It's Mom again. You're the only person I can tell this to. I have found more pill bottles, pain pills, and this time she's passed out when I came home. I couldn't even wake her up.
All right, Sarah, the time has come. You need to get help, professional help for your mom. You deserve to have the conversation.
To help a loved one, or for more information, contact STARS at HaveTheConversationTN.org or 615-983-6803. This public service announcement is funded by the Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health for STARS Middle Tennessee Opioid Misuse Prevention Initiative.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also being brought to you by Mount Zion Baptist Church. Join the Mount Zion Baptist Church weekly prayer call every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. Central. Request prayer or listen to the playback of the call at theprayercall.org. For more information, please call the church office at 615-254-7296 or download the free Mount Zion Baptist Church app from your favorite app store. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on. Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University, and What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance, also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care and Mount Zion Baptist Church. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And today we are finishing up the Dynamic Studies in Philippians with Fred A. Shireen. He is a returning guest. By definition, he's a distinguished certified financial planner and managing director of investments with a major investment firm. But in his dual career. He also is a Bible instructor, speaker, and author, and has a series of books for on Scripture for you to gain further insight into it, and it's called The Dynamic Studies. And you have, what, you said 12, 10?
Yes, right around there, and okay. More coming all the time. So.
Okay. So, you know, Fred, we keep your number, you know. Yeah, because you got, I mean, so much here. Now, let me wrap, have you wrap up on that six and go into seven. You know, I was just saying hypocrites before the break, and isn't there some mention, Paul mentions hypocrites in this early portion of Philippians, talking about the Pharisees?
Right, he talks about them. He talks about the Judaizers, if you will. And these are people who were trying to say you had to be circumcised to become a believer in that case. And certainly he also argued against the Pharisees who were not believers.
Mm-hmm.
That's most interesting because if you look at Paul, he was probably the most highly educated, perhaps the most intelligent man of his time.
Mm-hmm.
So God was using him there in his place. So with the question you asked, going back there, what would God say to the U.S. today? There was a quote from Billy Graham. He said that if God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. But the reason I say that is that Billy Graham was used by God in our country, and many, many other believers have, and each of us, though we may not have achieved what Paul did in terms of being so highly educated or well-read, we're each placed in a situation where we have influence, and God can use each of us, and that's one of the things we're hoping to encourage people to do here, just to go ahead and let God use them in their life wherever and whenever they are.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and recognizing it, and I think sometime, Fred, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the Lord wants to use somebody, and they don't understand that that's what's going on. So they're confused and don't get the assignment.
Right.
And that's the sad part, because they don't know, you know, that, or maybe they don't feel that God could actually use them for whatever purpose, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't understand the plan. And if you don't spend any time figuring that out, then you're really missing out. Because, I mean, the Lord, just because I think a lot of people expect, Fred, in today's material world, that God's going to drop a big pot of money in the bank and they're going to get some big financial reward. You know, I'm cool to settle with peace and health, okay? I'm cool with that. I mean, that works for me. Because there's no amount of money that you can put on either one of those. If you have good health, you know, you're saving money.
Sure.
For sure. And if you have peace in your life, you know, you're saving money and, you know, you can rest, you know, and not have to be up all night long looking out the window. There's a lot to be said about that. I don't think there's a dollar ever going to be on that. Now, in week seven, it's the best citizenship. And you take the reader to Philippians chapter 3 and go into chapter 4. So let's get started talking about that. Get us going, Fred.
Sure. In this chapter, we talk about, as you said, the best citizenship, which Paul relates a little bit to the citizenship one had in the Roman Empire, except that the best citizenship was to be a citizen of heaven, which meant that one knew, had a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, which we do see in this chapter, is that Jesus, Paul says, possessed him for perfection when he first possessed him, is a quote. So he has the same plan for us as for Paul, in that he wants excellence from us in what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So he even goes ahead and gives us some things to focus on in this chapter. He says that we should focus, and by the way, we spoke earlier, you spoke about some negative things we have in the world. So they existed then, and you could concentrate on the negative things, and you could try to get rid of the negative things.
Sure.
Paul tells us, though, that it's something that psychologists tell us today, that that's good to do. The best thing, instead of just trying to not think about a negative thing, is to replace those negative thoughts and those negative actions with positive ones. Mm-hmm. So and psychologists tell us that today. You know, if you want to change a bad habit, don't. If you're whatever it is, you know, if you don't want to, I can't scratch your arm. Don't scratch your arm. Think of something else. So what he says here is that we should focus on things that are excellent, things that deserve praise, things that are true and noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable. And then we see that then further relates to the fruit of the Spirit coming from one's relationship to God, through Christ, and from His Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us. So then we experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. So that's all part of being a citizen of heaven, and those are the benefits that we can have if we do that. And then we can, as you were saying, we can lay up treasure in heaven, in a sense, by that relationship and by treating others properly and helping them come to know Him also. Mm-hmm. So lay treasure in heaven, as you were saying, that's worth a whole lot. Treasure here, it's okay, but, you know, that's not what it's about.
No. Because, you know, one false move on the stock market, and if that's where your money is, you're toast.
Oh, right. It can be the stock market. It can be anywhere.
Right. That's true. That's absolutely true. Because, you know, nowadays online, they can take you, clean you out, and you just didn't even know.
They can.
Which is so sad, if you think about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just... Because when the Lord is going to put the blessing down, you just don't know where it's going to come from.
That's right.
You know, I've seen some folks around me that have just been blessed beyond measure. And then I have to remind them. They say, I know you ain't going to tell me that own thing. I'm talking about my own kids. I know mommy done told us. You know, I said, well, you know, you some of these blessings are from the prayers of your grandparents. they sowed good seeds and they asked the Lord to bless their kids and grandkids. Well, that's what you're getting. You're getting what your granny and them and your grandpa prayed for. So, you know, I guess I probably teach my children a little different than everybody else, but they get it. They say, if you say that one more time, you think we don't know, Mama? We know. But, you know, I just ingrain it. That's all.
And, keep telling them.
Yeah, I know, because they do the same thing to their own kids. Now, how does the, does this seven, the best citizenship, how does it end, and take us into week number eight?
Sure. The way the seventh chapter ends is when we actually, if you look at Philippians 4:1, we look at that for a minute, and that what Paul says there is to stay true to the Lord, or stand fast, depending on the version you might be using. But the most interesting part of that is these are military terms. And it means to hold the ground that's been conquered. So Paul's telling the people in Philippi, you've gone forward, you've done great things in your lives, you've made progress in your relationships and in your society. Hold that ground. It's a battle against the other side, if you will, but hold it and go forward. So he's saying, stand the ground, be in the battle, you're going to be in the battle, you'll suffer. And later on in Ephesians, he talks about that too. But that's how he ends kind of number seven, saying, hold your ground.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we go into eight, this is very interesting because we see essentially God's will for us in terms of health, and that he really wants health for us. So he says, don't worry. Hey, we're not supposed to worry.
Mm.
And that's hard.
It's very hard.
Right. Yeah, I mean, sure, I was worrying this morning. Maybe you were, too. So you worry, then you pray about it, and you turn it over to, and then you make a mistake and do it again. You have to get repeated, and then maybe you think we shouldn't have to, but we do.
Yeah.
So we keep going back. I had some interesting notes there in the book from a fellow, Michael DeMonte, Montague, that his life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which has never happened.
Yes.
So most things we worry about never happen.
Yeah.
You know, there's a fellow who wrote a book on stress, and he said actually 85% of what we worry about never happens. No. And if it does happen, 79% of the time it's not so bad.
No. Well, it's never like what we think, you know. That's
right.
That's how I had to learn how to just, you know, I can't even trip on that. I can't do it. I'm not doing it. Y'all do it, but I'm not doing it. And things always seem to come out much better than what, you know, you sit there anticipating something. You can't see in the future. You don't know what you're talking about. So I don't pay attention. And you have to train your mind, too, on that one, Fred.
Right, you do.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's something you have to constantly work on. And if you don't, you know, you become nuts. You literally lose your mind worrying about stuff that never happened. It's going to rain. Well, what if it doesn't?
Uh-huh.
You know, come on. Now, week 9, the secrets of contentment. That's so important. Can
that
you help our people with that one on, that's the last one, the secrets of contentment, and that'd be Philippians chapter 4. Go ahead.
Yes, and we think again of Paul, very, very intelligent. If he applied himself to business, Paul would have been quite wealthy, but he's very intelligent, very well read. And he sums this up in this last chapter, if you will, of the book, or in those verses here. And he tells them that he has learned to live as a believer on almost nothing. He's also learned to live with when he has everything. So if he has a lot, doesn't have a lot. He's learned the secret of living, he would say, in every situation. He goes on to say he's learned to live with an empty stomach, which he has experienced because he hasn't always had money. He's learned to live with a full stomach because sometimes it's been good. So he's basically saying that he keeps saying it different ways. So he's been able to learn to live with plenty or little, but in the process to trust God and experience peace through him.
So he's
content in those situations and trusting God the whole way through. Kind of like I mentioned Hudson Taylor in the book there. There's a book about him that his parents wrote, which is a very good book. And it's the point of that is that one is successful by the faithful one. That he's the source of that. So those are some of the components. Then we also talk here about commitment. And there are a number of verses which we cite. There are specific things that God tells us. I can't go over them all now, but in the book, you know, he tells us to stay in the path of righteousness, to be loyal, to trust in God, to hate evil, to hate arrogance and pride and corruption, to not be a part of deception, to be generous, to refresh others, to help others.
Amen.
Be truthful. If people are oppressed, to help them, help the poor. He demands, and to be accurate, and fair, and honest. So, if we just go through the scripture there, and look at many references, and this is all part actually of contentment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you're content because you're following God's word and His admonitions. You have joy because you're trusting Him and letting Him fill you with joy. But it all works together. So that you're content, you're helping others, and you're having a big influence on others. You're hopefully speaking wise words to them. You can't give in to the wicked. You never abandon your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You bring justice to the poor and to those who are orphaned.
Mm-hmm.
Many times in Scripture, they talk about bringing justice and help to the poor, to the orphan, or to the widow.
Yes.
And those people had no power in that society. They don't have that much power today in ours. I mean, it's hard. So,
yes, it is.
So we're to bring help and justice to them. and not ignore them.
Amen, amen. Now, Fred, I've got to run, of course, and this always happens whenever I talk to you. I always run out of time. But now, when your next Dynamic Studies comes out, is it later this year or beginning of next year?
Well, there's one at the publishers now, and we're just going over the final editing, if you will.
Sure.
So there's one coming out on Colossians and Philemon.
Okay.
So that's coming out soon. Ephesians came out not too long ago,
okay,
but prior to Philippians, which is pretty interesting also.
Yeah.
But the next one, hopefully by year end, the one on Colossians.
All right. Well, when we get that one here, then we'll get you back to do some study in there, okay?
That'll be great. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, yes, definitely. Tell the audience how to find you online and all that stuff.
Sure. Online, if you're looking for the books, probably Westbo Press is probably the best place to get the books. But you can also get them on Christian Book Distributors,
okay,
Christian.com, Barnes & Noble,
yeah,
Amazon. So they're at all those places. Libris.com, Alibris has them. And see, you normally have to order them online. To find them in person, you would have to happen to go to probably a Christian bookstore,
mm-hmm,
that had them. So, but online, they're very readily available.
Excellent. Fred, thank you so much. You stay doing these wonderful things you're doing, and we'll be calling you when the new one comes out, okay?
That sounds great, Sharon. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
You
bye-bye
too. Bye-bye. That is Fred A. Shireen. He is the author of the Dynamic Studies in Philippians, as well as the other 11 Dynamic Studies guides that he has written. Thank you so much. And we're going to leave you today with Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that was one of my mom's favorites. She had about 10 or 15 that were her faves, and that was one of them. You all have the very best of the best, and don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.